All right, let's turn to hymn number 89, O Come All Ye Faithful. And we'll stand as we sing this one. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. All right. Well, tonight is a very special night. And what I would like to do is ask our kids if y'all would come up and make sure you come this way. Don't go that way. There's fire and danger over here. Come this way. I'll ask you to come up and sit right here on the floor anywhere you want to. Anybody else? Anybody that feels like a kid want to come up here? All right. Well, can anybody tell me what Tuesday is? What? Yes, and it's the day after Monday. You do? All right. Well, what I want us to do tonight, now Daniela, you're going to have to pay close attention, young lady. Okay? All right. Here we go. We are going to look and see, you all hear a lot about the Christmas story, and there's a lot of things that our society tells us, but I want to make sure you all hear what the Bible says about Jesus' birth and what Christmas is all about. So the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to start reading in verse 26, says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And when the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Now there's some pretty incredible stuff that's happening right here in this part. Mary was a young lady. She wasn't married. She was engaged to a guy named Joseph, but God sent his angel Gabriel to appear to her and tell her, "You're going to have a child." And she said, "But wait a minute, I'm not married yet." And the angel said, "Yes, that's right, but the child that you're going to have is going to be the Son of God. The Son of God is going to be your child." Now, can you imagine how that must have made Mary feel? You think she was scared about the angel appearing. How much more do you think that scared her? She was totally shocked. But God had chosen her to do something very special. He chose her to be Jesus' earthly mother. I think God made a very, very perfect choice. Don't you? All right. Well, Brother Tim is going to come right now. I'm going to sing a song for you, and this tells you a little bit more about Mary. So listen closely as Tim sings this song.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save your sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy had walked where angels trod? And when you kissed a baby, you kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Mary was going to have a child. Isn't that amazing? And she wasn't yet married, but God told her, you are going to supernaturally have a child. It is, yes. Well, to supernaturally have a child, the scripture tells us, I believe it only happened twice. One was Elizabeth. Remember, we read about Elizabeth. In her old age, she was allowed to have a child when she was beyond the age where ladies are supposed to be able to have one. But now Mary, on the other hand, was a very young lady. Some people think she was probably a teenager or somewhere thereabouts, but God saw fit for her to be Jesus's earthly mother. There's another person that the angel of the Lord appeared to. Any idea who it was? Okay, besides Elizabeth, Joseph. Is Joseph, yes. The Bible says, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 1, and we'll read verses 18 through 25, and let's hear what happened with Joseph. Matthew 1, verse 18, says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So an angel also appeared to Joseph, who was Jesus' earthly father, and told him, you're going to be the earthly father of my son, of God's son. Can you imagine God telling Joseph that? You're going to have the privilege and the very important task of being the earthly father of the heavenly father's son. Can you imagine the weight and how scared he must have been? So I'm going to sing a song for you myself that talks about maybe what Joseph might have been thinking. Yeah, I bet he was frightened. I would have been. All right, so. Yeah, so listen closely. All right, so Joseph found out that he was going to be Jesus' earthly father, and Mary found out she's going to be his mother. And so Joseph and Mary came together as husband and wife, and there was something else that happened. What does this picture tell you that's up on the screen? What does it look like they're doing? Yes, they're traveling. Do you remember where they had to travel to?
No.
They had to travel to Bethlehem. The Bible says, let's turn over to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. The Bible tells us, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, and this is it. Everyone had to go to his own city, the city of his ancestors, where his grandpa and his great-grandpa and all those people were originally from. They had to go back to their hometowns. And so what they were doing, what do they do in a census? They count people. And they're trying to figure out how many people are living in the Roman province at the time. All right, so they're traveling to Bethlehem. It says in verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, again, the census, Caesar Augustus, very well-known Caesar throughout history, he required this census. Everybody had to go back to their hometown, be counted. So from Nazareth, it says, they traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's roughly 80 miles, if just a rough guess. And listen, guys, it is very rough. It's a desert, very rough terrain. And besides that, it's uphill. From Nazareth to Bethlehem, it's uphill. And so if you can imagine a lady about to give birth to a child having to travel that far, this was a very difficult journey that they had to take. But it was required by law that they had to go. It would have been. But you know, they didn't have cars then. So she was fortunate to have a donkey to ride. So that is very wise. Very wise. So as we move on, once they get to Bethlehem, what happens? All right, before that. Yes, when they got there, all the houses were full. And this, they came to an inn, to a house where people were staying, and the guy just said, look, there's no room. And, you know, a lot of times the innkeeper gets a bad rep on this. Well, let me tell you what he did. When you look at this Christmas story a little bit closer, you have to remember, all these people were converging on Bethlehem. They all had to go back and be counted. So there were a ton of people traveling back to Bethlehem to be counted for this census. And so it was likely overcrowded. So what did the innkeeper do? He actually did something that, if, depending on which angle you look at it, some of you ladies are going to debate this with me. Yeah, but he allowed her to go and stay with the animals. Now, what do you know about a Jewish stable? Now, this is interesting. You may not know this, but if you look up at the screen, that is likely one of the possibilities of what the stable may have looked like. In a Jewish stable, a lot of times they kept the animals on the bottom floor. They would build their house and they kept the animals on the lower floor. The lower floor, a lot of times, was also the warmest floor. So it kind of changes when you know these details. It kind of changes the way you look at the story. The innkeeper was, he may have been trying to help out, truly trying to help them out, because there was no room in the house, but he said, I know a warm place where you can go. And also it was private. There was no one else there. I mean, the animals were there, but there was no one else there. And here she was, great with child. So another way to look at this story. But it was likely, sometimes it may have been a cave adjoining the house where they kept the animals. It wasn't this big, pretty barn like we see in our nativities. They didn't have those. Most of the time, the animals were on the lower level of the house like this. But the Bible says that Mary, when Jesus was born, Mary laid Jesus in a manger. What is a manger? Yes, okay, a crib. It doesn't rock. In fact, it was made out of a rock. A lot of them were. When you looked at the mangers of this time, a manger was actually a feeding trough. Today, a lot of people think the manger was the barn or the stable or whatever, but it wasn't. The word manger refers to the feeding trough where they fed the animals, where they put the hay and the grain and all those different things. And a lot of times they were made out of stone. They would take this huge stone and they would cut out a crevice in it that they would put the food in. They've actually found some of these and dug these up from that time. But Mary laid Jesus in a manger. And that was his first bed. So the Savior of the world, think about this, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, came and was born among the animals, and then his first bed was in a feeding trough. But you know why God did that? God stepped down and humbled himself because he loved me and you. He was willing to humble himself to that point so that he could come to us. We're going to sing a song. Congregation, you can turn to hymn number 103. Or the lyrics will be on the screen. It's Away in a Manger, whichever you prefer. But we're going to sing this song for the kids, and y'all sing along too. I know y'all know this one as well. So you can remain seated as we sing Away in a Manger, hymn number 103. Well, next in the story, we have to turn over to Luke chapter 2 and continue there in verse 8. It says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So what's happening here? What do you see in this picture? Yeah, the angels are appearing, and one of them is standing there talking to the shepherds. He's telling them, he's announcing the birth of Jesus. And the shepherds are like twins because they both got They do. They use those canes to protect their sheep, don't they? Well, the Bible tells us, this is very, I want to make sure you guys understand this. We talked about it this morning during church, but the shepherds, the fact that they were the first ones to hear about Jesus' birth, this was pretty incredible too, because the shepherds in their society were seen a lot of times as the outcasts. People didn't want to hang around with them. They were dirty. They smelled. People just didn't like them, especially the religious people of the time. They didn't want to get dirty. They didn't want to hang around with people like this. But they were the very first people that God chose to announce Jesus' birth to. What that tells me is that God loves everyone. God came to be, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior for anyone who would receive Him. And His message of hope and salvation and forgiveness is for anybody. Isn't that pretty cool? It is, yeah. God came, He sent His Son to the world for everyone. But not only were they the first ones to hear about Jesus, but this passage tells us they were the first ones to go see Jesus. So they were also the first ones to get to see Jesus. Jesus came to save and forgive anyone who would receive Him. And so we're going to sing another song. Adults, if you want to turn to hymn number 85, or you can look on the screen, whichever you prefer. We're going to sing the hymn, The First Noel. And this song talks about that night when the angels appeared to the shepherds and when they came to see Jesus. So let's sing. All right, there's another group of men that we need to talk about. Can you tell me who these are? The wise men, yes. Anybody know what their names were? No. Well, I've heard them, but I'm not going to try and pronounce them. We'll start reading in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 21 and 22. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, His name was called Jesus, and the name given by the angel before He was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought Him to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. And then we pick up the story here, Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to start in, we're going to look at verses 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born, now I want you to catch something here. There's some key details because I hope I don't blow anybody's mind or crack your cranium or any of that kind of stuff. But I want to point out some important details because this is another part of the Christmas story that's often misinterpreted. There's a lot of things we don't know about the wise men, but we just have to look and see what Scripture says. Matthew chapter 2, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east, came to Jerusalem, saying, where is He who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Boy, there were a lot of people troubled and afraid during this time. But Herod was afraid too, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the child was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. I think Herod's up to something. Yeah. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, like I said, we don't know a whole lot about these men that came and visited Jesus, but we do know they are also called magi. What word does that sound like? No, it's not Spanish for wise men. I don't even think it's a Spanish word. But, huh? Magic. Okay. It sounds like the word magic, doesn't it? Well, that's where the word magic comes from. These men were not really workers of magic, per se, but they were astronomers. They studied the stars. And they were considered to be very learned and very smart and very wise men. And so, hence, they call them the wise men. Some even believe that they came from Babylon and that they were influenced by Daniel. We know from the Old Testament that Daniel rose to a high position, second in the land, and that he taught others about astronomy and how to read the stars and how to understand signs and visions from God. So many think that they may have been influenced by Daniel, because one way we look here in this passage and know, they understood and knew the messianic prophecies. They knew that when they saw this sign, that the Savior, the King, the Messiah of Israel had been born. So they knew messianic prophecy. So they had obviously been influenced somewhere along the way. But contrary to tradition, the Magi, or the wise men, they did not visit Jesus at the stable, as we see in all of our nativity scenes. Scripture tells us, as you read these passages carefully, that some time had passed since they first saw the star and by the time that they find Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, the passages that we read, once Jesus was born, there was a little Jewish ritual that has to be done. You can read the passage. I won't explain it to them. But 8 days, after 8 days, that rite had to be done. So we know it was 8 days before the wise men saw him. At least 8 days. You go on further than that, it says they after 40 days, he was taken to Jerusalem to be dedicated in the temple. That's when he encountered Simeon. So we know, all right, we're up to 48 days before the wise men encountered Jesus. Then as you read in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, the wise men," it says, better interpreted, better translated here, "they came to Jerusalem from the east." Now, if you look at a map, it suggests that they might have been wandering around a little bit, because they came from the west. And they saw the star they came from the east, and they saw the star in the west on their journey. But once they got there, it says here at this point where we pick up in the story, they've passed Bethlehem. Now they're looking back at Bethlehem in the east from Jerusalem. It says they came to Jerusalem. In verse 7, they come to Herod, and Herod asks them when the star first appeared. And he's trying to calculate, you know, how old could this child be? Because he's a threat to my throne. And Herod, when you study history on him, he was a very wicked man. He was very paranoid about people trying to take the kingship away from him. And he was not a nice man at times. You go on down, so Herod's trying to figure out how old they were, or how old Jesus might be. And in verse 12, the Magi are warned by God in a dream and did not return to Herod. So God informed the wise men that when you find Jesus, do not go back to Herod. He's got bad ideas. He's got something very evil and something very bad he wants to do. He doesn't like Jesus like he tried to make you think he does. In verses 13 through 16 of Matthew chapter 2, though, this is very important. Herod, based on what he heard from the wise men, calculated that Jesus at this point could be up to 2 years old. That is the reason he gave his decree and said, let's kill all firstborn males up to 2 years old. That sounds pretty rotten, doesn't it? Yes, he was not a good man. And that was a very evil and wicked thing that he did. But we know from these passages that it could have been up to 2 years before the wise men actually found Jesus. So the Bible says, also, if you go on further in this chapter and analyze it and look at what it says, verses 9 through 11, we see the phrase young child, and we see that he's in a house. And these words mean exactly what they sound like in the original language. He was a young child. And this word in the context does not refer to an infant. It refers to a young child or a toddler. So we know from all this evidence that Jesus could have been up to 2 years old. He was a little bit older. He wasn't in the stable. That's what I want you to get when the wise men finally came in. But the important thing is that these men came and found Jesus. They sought out Jesus because they recognized the sign and they wanted to come and worship Jesus. And they brought him gifts. The gifts that they brought him were important. And this shows that they understood who Jesus was and were possibly influenced by Daniel. It says they brought gold. Gold was wealth. It was money. And this was a common gift that somebody would bring to give to a king when you come to visit them. So they recognized Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords by giving him gold. They brought, what was the second gift? Sounds like somebody's name. Frankenstein, that was it. Frankincense. You got it. Frankincense, that's a hard word. Frankincense. Yeah, I've got some frankincense and myrrh at home, don't I? All right. But frankincense was an incense that they burned during worship, during ceremonies, especially in the temple. So this was a gift that recognized that Jesus was God. They came by presenting him frankincense. They said, we believe you are God, and we're here to worship you. The third gift, remember what it was? It's the way they say Mary's name in Yakin County. Murray. It was myrrh. Myrrh, good job. This was an embalming oil. Myrrh was an embalming oil. It was used when you buried somebody to keep their body from stinking. It was. That's what it was used for. Why would the wise men bring a newborn baby myrrh? And it's because they knew this was symbolizing his sacrificial death, that he would one day die on the cross and he would be buried. See, these gifts meant something. They knew who he was. Yeah, it would. The cross was a very bad way to die. It was not pleasant. There was nothing nice about it. But Jesus did that for me and you. He loved us that much that he took that for me and you so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Every time you ever disobey your mom and dad, every time you ever steal something or you have bad thoughts, or jealousy, I didn't know you knew that one. But seriously, for every one of those things, Jesus died for that. He died for that sin so that you could be forgiven. And I hope you understand that. All right, we're going to sing a song about the wise men. So adults, if you want to turn to hymn number 113, We Three Kings of Orient Are, or you can just look here on the screen. Well, I am so glad that each one of you came, even the ones that didn't come up. I'm glad each one of you are here. I want everyone to understand, Jesus came to be Savior for a world that had no room for Him. His society had no room for Him. Of course, there was no room in the inn. The religious leaders had no room for Him. And many people today have no room for Him. His crown of thorns. But, yeah.
But the ones that were using, they were just characters, and they were just wearing a paper. If he would touch anything, he'd pass
it on. That's right. But hey, God gave mankind. You think of your favorite Christmas present you ever received. Yeah, the Barbie camper. That was my favorite too.
You couldn't get a Barbie. You're not a girl. You don't like Barbie.
I know it. You're right. But here's what I want you to think about. Your most favorite present you ever received is still not as great as the gift God gave on Christmas. God sent us the greatest gift ever. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be Emmanuel, God with us. The Son of God came. He lived among us. He lived a perfect sinless life so that He could be the perfect sinless sacrifice so that we could be forgiven of our sins. The Bible says that Jesus was not sent to be a baby. He was sent to be our Savior. And I hope you all think about that and know that as we celebrate Christmas this year. He will forgive you. And this is for anyone in the room. Jesus will forgive you and be your Savior if you'll receive Him and make room for Him in your life. Make Him Lord and Savior. He loves you. And you know, when I look at this picture that's on the screen, it boggles my mind that the God of the universe would humble Himself to this point because He loved us. But He does. He loves us that much, and He proved it on the cross by giving Himself for us. I hope you have a personal relationship with Jesus. If you don't, we're going to sing a song here in just a moment. And I would invite you, if you'd like to know more about trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd invite you to come. I'll be glad to talk with you about it and pray with you. God loves you. And His grace, as we said this morning, is written all over Christmas. We are staring grace in the face right now. So at this time, I'm going to ask Miss Macklin to come. And we're going to sing Silent Night, hymn number 91. You'll need to turn to this one. And we're going to stand. Hymn number 91. All right.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep. Shepherds hear the angels.
Thank you for being here tonight. This was a more laid-back kind of service, but one of the things, I have a heart for kids. I will always have a heart for youth and children, and I want y'all to hear the Christmas story and know that God loves you. We do have refreshments in the basement. If you go through this door, go that way until you see a set of steps on your left. Go down those steps very carefully. They go this way, then they go that way, go through the door, and you'll smell the food. So some light refreshments. So please stay for a brief time of fellowship if you can. And again, I love you all, and I hope you have a very wonderful Christmas. And remember, Jesus is the reason for the season.